Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
But what Angel Hernandez is doing behind home plate. Just increasingly worse and worse and worse and more infuriating with each passing day.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's a witch's brew of incompetence and arrogance.
Today's guests, co-host of Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager, writer and comedian, Neil Brennan, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Hi, my name's Rich Eisen. I've never started the show that way in almost 10 years, and I've been waiting. I've been cultivating that caper like Maury the Wig Man. Hey, welcome to this program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Roku channel. We are live every single day on every Roku device known to man. Select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV. It's also free on the Roku app. The RokuChannel.com is a way to watch us if you're just sitting there on your laptop or at a work computer. And we appreciate you being able to be as productive at work as possible. Speaking of which, if you want to run your 40-yard dash at work and dress up in your work clothes and run a 40-yard dash and upload it to any social media with the hashtag of Run Like Rich or St. Jude RRR, do so. And you can have your 40-yard dash shown on the NFL Network draft coverage in a couple of weekends from now, because it's time to start raising some money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, something I'll be talking about on this Roku channel feed and stream, also on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We're going to try and raise as much money at stjude.org/runrichrun. It's that time of year to start raising some money and saving some kids' lives and keeping some kids healthy and some families in the black, if we can, while they're trying to get healthy at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in the great state of Tennessee. We're here over the next 3 hours. Peter Schrager of Good Morning Football has a mock draft out today, and this is a guy who's got his ear to the ground. So when he comes up with some concepts of some big-time trades on a draft night like two Thursdays from now, you listen to what he's got to say, and he's going to be joining us in about 18 minutes' time to kick things off. We're tipping things off on the Western Conference play-in tournament games tonight. We've got Howard Beck of The Ringer joining us in hour number two, and the very funny comedian who helped create the Chappelle Show all those years ago, Neil Brennan. You might be listening to a lot of podcasts involving him. He's in studio in hour number three. And then, as I mentioned, there's you at 844-204-RICH as the number to dial right here on the program. Caitlin Clark is, in fact, an Indiana Fever. The WNBA draft went down last night. Camilla Cardozo and April Reese are teammates. This is a lot of fun. Yeah. And so there's a lot of things to talk about on this program today, as we will with you. And also you, Chris Brockman. How are you on
Rich?
This day, sir?
What's up, my
good
man?
To see you
good
over there. You. DJ Mikey D is in these nuts. Mike Del Tufo. Good to see you.
Good morning.
How are you? TJ Jefferson. Is the candle already lit over there? I can see it aglow from my seat right here. How are you?
The candle's lit. It smells great. And I'll be honest
it
with
does.
You.
I smell it.
Good luck getting a rebound against the Chicago Sky next year, because it ain't going to happen.
Are you wearing a WNBA shirt, sir?
I am indeed.
Okay, very good.
I am indeed.
I like it. Where do you get that? Where
you
does one get one of those?
You know, I got places. I get caught up on Instagram algorithms a lot, where I look at one thing and they suggest something. And then, like a dummy, I usually buy these things, and then I just get... But this was specific.
I'm afraid to look at your algorithm for fear it might jump into mine.
Well, you'd probably like it. You like it.
The algorithm
is
mine.
Like it.
And I'm not talking about apparel. I'm talking about the lack of it being potentially adorned by those that you see on Instagram.
You'd want Del Tufo's algorithm.
Oh, my God.
My algorithm.
I'm a happily married man. What's the matter with you people?
That's why you don't want my algorithm.
You don't want either one of TJ's or mine.
Didn't think I'd be starting the show with that, but all right.
bad algorithm.
A lot of good stuff.
Okay, fantastic. And we'll be talking about the WNBA draft with none other than Howard Beck later on in this program. And the as I mentioned, the play-in tournament games begin tonight. But we begin with football on the brain because not only is that our forte here in many ways, but we'll be in Detroit 1 week from today. We're going to be flying out to Detroit, Michigan. We're going to do the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday shows of the Rich Eisen Show from the NFL draft the day before the first round, the day after the first round, and the day of the first round. We'll be in downtown Detroit. We'll let you know if you want to stop by and just wave at us, or we'll come out and we'll say hello from our draft set.
We're going to be everywhere.
We are going to be everywhere. Baby. We're going to be absolutely everywhere in Detroit. We're very excited about that.
7, 8, and 9 miles. That's right.
Is that what we're going to be? Yeah. Okay. It's a lot of miles to cover.
Axel Foley.
A lot of miles.
The Washington Commanders is sitting at the second overall pick in this draft, and that's when things begin, because we're all expecting Caleb Williams to go first overall to the Chicago Bears, and if they do not, I do believe something akin to Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicking something over might happen in the city of Chicago. It's going to be Caleb Williams. He is the next Patrick Mahomes that a lot of people believe, because he has those off-platform throws, and he does have the ability to, it does appear, to lead and be accurate at the same time and just have a lot of things you don't expect to see from your quarterback. And he's got that all innate abilities to separate, and he will be the first overall pick in the draft. So what are the Commanders going to do? Who are they going to choose? They have the entire draft not named Caleb Williams and a ton of top-notch quarterbacks available that could have been number one overall even last year. Even in a draft without Caleb Williams like last year. So what do they do? Here's what they do today. First order of business. In the final days in which you can have players in for top 30 or whatever the hell they're called, visits. They have all three quarterbacks. They're meeting with all three quarterbacks today. Not named Caleb Williams at the top of the draft. And they are Jaden Daniels, your Heisman Trophy winner. They are Drake May, your University of North Carolina quarterback, who sounds like Phillip Rivers and throws like Justin Herbert. And then there's J.J. McCarthy, your national championship, reigning national champion quarterback. He's going to be chatting with the Washington Commanders today. And what do they do? I'll tell you what I think they're going to do, and Peter Schrager is exactly right. In his mock draft, it's something I heard at the combine, that it was going to be Jaden Daniels number two overall, and I think that's what's going to happen. He's the guy that is apparently most pro-ready, is the guy who was taken off from his Arizona State days, and we saw what he did with LSU with somebody like Malik Nabers. And then you stick him with Terry McLaurin, and you stick him with Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator. And you got Brian Robinson Jr. being able to take screen passes the distance and being able to run the football in between the tackles, and Jaden Daniels keeps it and runs it himself. I think this is too good of an opportunity, too big of a quarterback with a ceiling like his to pass up on him. And I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. Now, it can be Drake May as well. It can be Drake May as well. And I think, Chris, with you sitting there at number three for the New England Patriots, you would take that in a heartbeat.
Because I think
you would take either guy.
I'll take either guy.
You would be happy with either
guy.
Absolutely. You would be able to say,
we got a quarterback.
You got a Maserati, not a minivan, which is what you said after they drafted Mac Jones a couple years ago.
Was I right? Or was I right?
Well, the first year he looked he looked more like the sports car. But hey, listen, Chris, in this day and age, like if you had one more kid, you'd take the minivan.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes the minivan
is what you need.
I'm so close to a minivan.
I know that.
So what you saying?
Well, we can move on.
We can go home now.
Yeah. So you take either one.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I'll tell you what, New England's very lucky to be sitting there at three and having an opportunity. Well, I'll take either one. I'll take the hot reigning Heisman Trophy winner. Yep. He's got a huge ceiling. Or I'll take a kid like Drake May, who apparently can make every damn throw and is a total gamer.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And so you're lucky to have that position. And as we all know, Jim Harbaugh has been pounding the table to say, do not sleep on J.J. McCarthy being the number one overall pick. Remember he said that here when he joined us?
You wanted him number one overall.
And it's just like, okay, you're just honking the horn for your guy, right? You're just, you know, trying to pump up your guy like you did pregame every single game that you were coaching at the University of Michigan, being his spirit animal. And the other part of it is if J.J. McCarthy does go fourth overall, if somebody does go and trade up for him and tells Arizona, we'll take your pick and we'll give you the Godfather offer to have you move out of that spot and forego telling Kyler Murray, welcome to your new world with Marvin Harrison Jr. as your primary target.
Hello.
Okay, with Hollywood Brown now a Kansas City Chief and Rondale Moore pew-pew-pewing in a way with your guy Marvin Harrison Jr. Pass up on that. Guess what happens? The fireworks happen for Jim Harbaugh here because you bet he's taking Marvin Harrison Jr. And wouldn't that be something that J.J. McCarthy gets taken fourth overall to allow Jim Harbaugh in his first pick returning to the National Football League, taking one of the best Ohio State Buckeyes that we've seen come out of Columbus, Ohio. You bet Jim Harbaugh is going to do that. So the question is who would go up and take J.J. McCarthy fourth overall? Would it be Minnesota doing that? Could it be Denver? Denver would have to dip into future draft picks for that. And they're just finally coming out of catching up from the Russell Wilson trade that turned out to be completely disastrous for them. They're finally digging out and start using their own draft choices again. So would they go ahead and do that? Would the Raiders move up from 13? Well, Peter Schrager is about to join us. Says the New York Giants are going to be the one doing it.
Ooh, hello.
6-4. And that makes sense because Arizona doesn't have to move down too far, and they know if they make that trade, the Giants are moving up to take a quarterback, which means once Jim Harbaugh makes his pick of Marvin Harrison Jr., sure, they forego getting Marvin Harrison Jr. That means they can get either Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze, which ain't too shabby, and that, with the extra picks they get from the Giants, might be a nice move for Arizona to make. And then the Giants would get J.J. McCarthy. And I will just say this. If this happens, I would love it. Good Lord, would I love it. And it would be great for J.J. McCarthy to go to New York City and have that entire world cracked open for him. A world in which Phil Simms can win a championship there and be a face on television for three decades after. Where Justin Tuck can play alongside Michael Strahan, win a championship, and sell a bunch of Subway sandwiches in a place that he normally wouldn't. And Michael Strahan can win a championship and become the modern-day Dick Clark. This kid on that stage, the city would love him. And he would love it back. He would love it back. And he would love it back with an ability that I think Giants fans would love. And on top of it, he doesn't have to start right away. Kid's just 21 years old. Just 21 years old. And Daniel Jones is going to be there this year, folks. He's going to be there this year. They are not cutting him. They are not trading him. He is uncuttable at present, and he's untradeable. At present, coming off of a knee injury. He won't even be ready till the middle of the season. And maybe, just maybe, some team is injury stricken and would take Daniel Jones in the middle of the season. We'll take him off your hands in the middle of a trade deadline. We'll do it. And even if they do that, it wouldn't be to have J.J. McCarthy play. It would be to have Drew Lock sitting there. They've got him.
Right.
Well, that's true.
I believe Drew Lock is going to be the week one starter of the New York Giants, whoever the hell they trade up to go get.
You have mentioned that before.
I believe that's the case. So they can sit there and say, J.J., you get in that quarterback room, and you see from Drew Lock, and you see from Daniel Jones how to be a professional quarterback, and you can learn all that stuff. You can get up to speed, and we can totally redshirt you. And they can get away with it. Unless Drew Lock gets hurt like Tyrod Taylor, and then all of a sudden you have to throw J.J. McCarthy in there right in the middle of the first month of the season before Daniel Jones gets ready. Is it entirely possible that J.J. McCarthy could come out like a house of fire and is ready to play in the National Football League? I don't put anything past this kid, and I am biased when it comes to him. because I did see him make every throw. And the number of people that we have on this program that looks at his tape and does not think he's got a first. I mean, Greg Cosell even said yesterday he doesn't even think he's got a potentially first round game looking at his tape. I watched the kid play. I know what he has brought to the program. I know what he did from start to finish. I know how he supplanted the guy in front of him. I know what he brought to the game in terms of just sheer confidence and sheer uplifting the entire team and program. I saw what he did, and I saw how he was able to swallow some sort of, one would think, pride messing with his mind. 32 straight handoffs against Penn State at age 20. Normally a kid would be like, you're messing with my draft stock status as I'm about to leave you here. Nope. I saw him go up top in the horseshoe a couple times and change the tenor of that game. I saw him make some beautiful dime throws. I saw him thread needles. I've seen him be a winner. And as far as I'm concerned, he could play for my team. And in New York City, what a spot that would be for him. And I would love to see him in the division with Drake May / Jaden Daniels, and love to see him in the division with Jalen Hurts. And I would love to see him in the division with Trey Lance, the future of the Dallas Cowboys at quarterback. Because they're all in. Yeah. We'll see what Dak does this year. But in all seriousness, a great, great setup to not only a draft week next week, but for this program. Because the man who thinks the Giants are trading up for J.J. McCarthy, and again, he has his ear to the ground. He's got a reporter's nose, locked in a sideline reporter and co-host of an Emmy Award-winning show's body, and Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football, Fox Sports, and his own pod. And his mock draft is next on the Rich Eisen Show. Do not move. Lots of fun draft chat coming up. A lot of you folks who have been listening to this show know about our relationship with Game Time, which is the ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase because you could see views from your seat. And before you buy your tickets, before you hit that purchase button, you get all in pricing so you know everything that's into the cost of your seat and there's no surprises at all. Now here's something you may not know about Game Time. It's the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. Killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seats, and the lowest price guarantee, with Game Time taking the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code EISEN. You get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. All right, we're back here on the program. Peter Schrager about to join us on Zoom, and apparently he's got some hardware behind his shoulder. He just tweeted out that he's hopping on the show. He's got his Emmy hanging above his shoulder in my home today, as if that adds credibility to me mock drafting skills. But so
I mean, that's a little disrespectful.
That's our Emmy.
That's disrespectful,
I mean,
Pete.
So I
Can we cancel this booking? Is there time?
No, he's about to zoom in.
Oh.
I mean, it's fine.
He did
it's
that fine. To hurt us, I think.
I don't think so. Well, maybe we'll make... Got to bring it up.
Disrespect is real.
It's not
Tyree. Thank you, Tyree.
The whole Daniel Jones press conference that we showed yesterday, everyone's talking about his eyes.
I mean, Adam Gase.
He's got weird eyes.
I felt it in the moment.
Yeah, the case of the Adam Gase eyes.
Yeah.
He wasn't Googling him around.
He wasn't chasing the taco.
When your eyes are so open that you could see the white above the eyeball.
Yeah.
I think that's what throws people off.
Crazy
right?
eyes.
Locked in.
Like, but he's just like staring
at. Eye killer.
Well, I mean, he's staring at. Well, that's what happens when you ask questions like, are you the best quarterback for the job?
And you're just like.
What happens if they draft a replacement for you at the top of the draft as Peter Schrager's about to join us to tell us they're going to do?
You think he had a bet with one of his friends? Like, see how long you go without blinking.
Well, like Eminem and Brent.
But you know who looked, do you know who looked like that at the end of the day? Minnesota Vikings fans a couple of wild cards ago. They looked exactly like that.
Yeah.
Because he made them look like that. He doesn't have the elite quarterback hair.
I don't even think I could do that with my eyes.
I can't do that. I would say do not sleep on this guy, but he's wide awake.
I'm sleeping.
I can't even get my eyes that wide.
Just take a look at that photograph one more time right there. Maybe
like this. CJ, it's like the guy on the boat in Caddyshack.
maybe Trump should take some pointers in New York. On the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Granger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Here with a mock draft that a lot of people are talking about because there's a couple of trades in his top 10 that if they happen, it'll be buzzy. Draft night, to say the least, will be part of NFL Network's draft coverage on day three. As always, the co-host of the Emmy Award-winning Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager, back here on the program. How you doing, Peter?
It is like a rite of passage and a yearly ritual. When I put out this mock draft, I immediately come on the Rich Eisen Show and we dissect the hell out of it.
I appreciate it. I know, right? Because here we are 9 days away, and this is truly one of the most fascinating drafts, and I think for fans, I think that the interest level is through the roof, Peter.
I think it also helps that some of the key franchises up the top are franchises that in recent years haven't been necessarily up in the top, and that includes the New England Patriots. It includes the Washington Commanders. Obviously, the Bears, we know what they're going to do, most likely. But you've got two different Bears picks. You've got a Jets pick at 10. Like, these are very, very passionate, vocal fan bases. When in truth, in recent years, it's been Carolina, it's been Jacksonville. These are blue blood, crown jewel type franchises all at the top of the draft vying for probably the same players.
All right. And you know, the Giants are crucial in your mock draft, but we'll bury that lead for a second and get straight to the decision we're all wondering about, the Commanders, about who they're going to take from the draft pool, not named Caleb Williams. They're going to have that choice in about 9 days from now, and you say they're going to take, fill in that blank for everybody, Peter?
I got Jaden Daniels, the quarterback out of LSU, the Heisman Trophy winner. I know they really liked meeting with May and McCarthy as well. Obviously, you look at all those quarterbacks, they bring different things to the table. At the end of the day, I think they are going quarterback. They've got six picks in the top 100, so they're going to totally, you know, beef up their team in this draft process in the first 3 days. Very close with Cliff Kingsbury. I will tell you, he has not told me, here is the pick.
Right.
But just from a lot of intel around the league and from inside that building, I want to say I feel confident saying Daniels over May at this point, 9 days out.
Well, I mean, because the evaluators that I've been chit-chatting with right here from this seat, a lot of them say May because of the system that he ran in North Carolina is similar to what Kingsbury does. But I imagine it's the two-way threat from Daniels that is the eventual, one would say, separator here.
Yeah, he can move. And, you know, even if Cliff absolutely loved May and said he fits in his offense, quote unquote, there are so many voices now in there. And I'll tell you know, Bob Myers, who is the general manager of the Golden State Warriors, you saw that news come out from Schefter, like during free agency, that he was joining, you know, in some consultantary role. I'll tell you, he's had a very big voice, not only with who they hired at coach, but also just the future of this franchise. And then, Rich, this one's close to us. kind of buried on Schefter's timeline yesterday, but Dave Gardy leaving the league office after decades of being such a prominent figure in Park Avenue to go to work with Washington. There's going to be a lot of different voices who weigh in, and not necessarily on this first pick, but with the future of the Washington Commanders franchise. They have the best and brightest right now and a lot of bright minds working together. It's pretty cool to see.
Well, I mean, so that means if Dave Gardy is leaving, that the voice of day three of the NFL draft, the one who makes the announcements of the trades, is available. But you and I can't do that because you and I are going to be on the set together.
Yeah, totally.
We can't do that. All right, so
who gets that gig? We should have a poll on that. That's Peter, real deep cut NFL draft.
Peter, stop. Stop. You know Scott Hansen wants it. You know it deep down, and you know he's right. Going to take it. It's Scott Hansen's world we're paying rent in right now. So
you're absolutely right.
Oh my God. He might slice the back of our hamstrings like Caddyshack, you know, like Carl Spackler said you could do, just boop, and he'll just take it.
Totally. With the 134th pick, there has been a trade. Yeah, right. I can see it. You're right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The 100 boxes. Hey, listen, Peter. So then it's Drake May as the New England Patriots, right? Because I know, again, we're inching our way to the big news from your mock draft, or the I guess splashiest piece of information that you may be plugging in here. But so you think New England does go ahead and take Drake May off the board?
They spent a lot of time with Daniels, May, and over the past 48 hours, they've had McCarthy in the building. I'll tell you this. They went to Davio's, which is an Italian steakhouse in Patriot Place, and they took out Drake May a couple weeks back, and he dazzled at them. Look, he's 21 years old. He can throw the ball a country mile. He comes from a great basketball family. We could do the whole profile if you want. I also think he's a great dude and like a leader and one of those types that if you don't get Jaden Daniels, you could say, all right, we're fine with Drake May. And if you're the Patriots, they have a lot of holes, yes, but you don't expect to be at the number 3, 2, or 1 overall pick. This guy can play quarterback. This guy can be your franchise guy. And you know, they traded Mac Jones away. There's obviously a void there. Maybe Brissett starts the season. But I think Drake May, they'd be very happy with Drake May at 3rd overall.
I agree. And also you could say the Patriots are fortunate that there is a top flight quarterback available when you do pick number 3 overall. I understand that you go with a quarterback if one's available when you're choosing that high in the draft, but it is rare to see somebody that everyone would consider, if this was another draft, could be number 1 overall sitting there at 3. And Bob Kraft basically said at the owners meeting, hey, I'm staying out of it, but I think a young kid at the quarterback spot would look pretty good, is essentially what I'm paraphrasing, you know?
21 years old, 6'4", can throw. Like, I think it makes a lot of sense, which leads to number 4.
Okay, so let's get to that. So you think at number 4, what's going to happen when that hits?
All right, I'm going to say this right now, 9 days out. I think Minnesota is very interested in trading up. I've heard from others around the league that is almost common knowledge right now. They've got 2 first-round picks. They've got, you know, more future firsts than anybody. They're loaded with picks and ammo, except they're all the way back at 11. The New York Giants are at 6. They can make a trade with Arizona, and Arizona can still get one of the top wide receivers, which would be Harrison, Adunze, or Neighbors. If they go back all the way to 11 and trade with the Minnesota Vikings, those guys aren't on the board anymore. So to me, the Giants, they make an offer. They offer their 6th overall pick. They offer either a future first, or they offer a 2nd and a 3rd, however you want to do it. And Joe Shane and the Giants go and get a quarterback that this group selected, that this group drafted. And yes, they gave a quarterback $80 million a year ago that they didn't select, but they can get out of that contract in this year. I could tell you the Giants have done so much work on these quarterbacks that has been maybe a little underreported. I would not be surprised if New York jumped up just 2 spots and they got J.J. McCarthy, and away we go.
Okay, and away we go. And how do you see that playing out? Because they got Drew Locke, and we know that Daniel Jones is still going to be a Giant this year based on his contract. You just said the words that they can get out of it after this year. And he is coming back from a knee injury, and he will be made available at some point during the playing season. But then there's J.J. McCarthy right there. How do you see this all playing out in a New York City market that would go nuts if something like this happens?
Isn't this crazy? Like, I'm picturing the New York Post headlines the next morning, and it's just one of those deals where, okay, we've got 3 young quarterbacks now. Obviously, Daniel Jones would be in the catbird seat as the number 1, and Locke would be the 2. And then let's see how McCarthy does. Rich, I remember being in Seattle for training camp in 2011, where it was the late Tavares Jackson and Matt Flynn had just signed a major deal. And it was just like, well, Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in camp. He's going to start week one. And everyone was like, we can't deny that. It's one of those deals where let's let them all compete. Obviously, it's Jones's job to lose. But at some point, McCarthy is going to get a look if they draft him fourth overall.
Okay. So let's just say this happens draft night and the buzz finally leaves the draft room in Detroit after J.J. McCarthy is named a New York Giant. Peter Schrager here on the Rich Eisen Show with a mock draft. So in this you can't make it up world, right? In this you can't make it up sport, in the event of the NFL that is in the non-playing season, the most you can't make it up event they have, you're saying J.J. McCarthy getting taken off the board at four, being traded up four, to go take off the board allows Jim Harbaugh, his spirit animal national champion coach from Michigan, to take Ohio State's Marvin Harrison Jr. That's what you're saying the football gods are potentially cooking up for us, Peter Schrager.
Aren't they hilarious? Isn't that how they can do it? Yeah, and I don't think they would pass on him. I know a lot of people are saying that that's a trade back possibility, that the Chargers and Joe Hortiz, their new GM with Harbaugh, would be looking to trade back a little bit, maybe pick up some ammunition. I think that's if McCarthy is still on the board. They might be able to help pick and place where he ends up, whether it be Minnesota or Denver or even the Giants moving up one spot. But I think they stay put if McCarthy goes four, which is how I have it, and they take Marvin Harrison Jr. And if anybody knows the Ohio State wide receiver and what he can do, yeah. I think it's the guy who played him in the big game for several years.
That's right. And the defensive coordinator he just hired from Michigan in Jesse Minter, I mean, obviously he's probably pounding a table for something, a trade back and maybe Dallas Turner or who knows. But they did keep, you know, the two defensive linemen, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, and let both of their wide receivers go, one by trade, one by just letting him walk to the Jets. This makes complete and total sense, Peter, to just say, okay, Marvin Harrison Jr., meet Justin Herbert. Justin, that's Marvin, and go to work. I mean, that makes total sense, right?
Let's go. I think so. And, you know, I had one GM, I sent this to him, and he was like, yeah, but Greg Roman offenses, they don't really value the wide. You're overthinking it. Like, if Marvin Harrison's on the board at five and you have a need at wide receiver, take Marvin Harrison.
And then next, Arizona would be at six based on the trade that you presume would happen between the Giants and Arizona. And then they would go Rome Odunze over Malik Nabers, in your opinion. Why do you think that?
Either or, right? Like, what do you want? And in this case, I like Odunze to go before Nabers in this scenario. But if you said Nabers went six, I wouldn't bat an eye either. In this case, they're very different types of players, but also Odunze with me, with Kyler, like, I just feel like that's a good combination. And so many stories about Odunze, the guy, and this is nothing like Odunze versus Nabers, but you saw the stuff at the combine, how he stayed late to do the three-cone drill. But I've heard from people at his pro day that he was the most, you know, charismatic, upbeat, teammate, leader, the whole thing. And he walks it, talks it. Like, as far as ranking the people in this draft, I've not heard a negative word on Rome Odunze, and there's not even a con to his game. So I think he would be a very solid pick. And if you're Arizona, all right, you're trading back a couple spots, but you can still get Odunze. I think that's a nice little win right there.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And then whatever the Giants would flip to Arizona to move up those two spots would be in their quiver for the rest of this draft, if not future drafts. The host of the Season with Peter Schrager podcast, and also Good Morning Football, and also from Fox Sports, Peter Schrager walking us through his mock draft one by one in the top 10. Here on the Rich Eisen Show 9 days before the NFL draft in Detroit. So Joe Alt going to Tennessee and Dallas Turner going to Atlanta. I think that that is a consensus for a lot of mock drafts for sure. Not, though, what you have happening at number nine. So I think a lot of Bears fans are sitting there thinking that Ryan Poles is going to take a nice new toy to go along with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen for Caleb Williams with whatever wide receiver is left from the Odunze, Nabers, Harrison Jr. Troika. But you say the Colts would pop up and take that receiver and Ryan Poles would trade out. Why do you think that's going to happen, Peter?
Maybe I'm being too cute. Maybe it's just take Nabers, get the card in. What are we even talking about here? But with such a good offensive line, offensive tackle draft, and there's five guys that can go in any order, I feel like Chicago can still get one of those dudes. And, you know, DJ, move the sticks, can go through all those players. But whether it's Watanu or it's Fuanga or it's JC Latham. There are so many of these guys that are all considered top dudes at the offensive tackle position that could play right away and could play multiple spots. That if I'm Chicago, and I know you took Wright last year in the first round, yes, Neighbors is a lovely you've got DJ Moore, you've got Keenan Allen for this year, you've got some other young guys that you've acquired. Why not just give Caleb Williams one of those bookends and pick up maybe a future first round pick or a second round pick and add more and more talent? So to me, I'm getting a little cute here, but I don't think it's going to be as cut and dry as quarterback, wide receiver, we're set. I think that the Bears might look to beef up that offensive line just a little bit and give protection for Caleb Williams.
And then Malik Nabers showing up in Indianapolis for, you know, they signed Pittman, took the franchise tag off of him. We all know they got Alec Pierce sitting there, and they had Nabers for Anthony Richardson coming off the shoulder surgery with Jonathan Taylor back there. I mean, that's a nice move.
Here's how I look at it, too. I look at what Tennessee did this offseason. They went on a spending spree and a free agent frenzy. Jacksonville brought in Arik Armstead and Gabe Davis, and they've been very active, of course. And then the Houston Texans might have the best offseason of all. The Colts, 10 players were re-signed from a team that missed the playoffs last year. They kind of kept on moving the ball along, but like no big splash. This would be a move, and this would be one that would really activate the fan base and say, you know what? No, we're in this AFC South thing as well, which suddenly has become one of the most interesting divisions in the league after about a decade of being one of the least interesting in the league.
And then rounding out the top 10, I saw you tweeted out on Monday that Brock Bowers is visiting the Jets. I don't know if you saw my response to your tweet, Peter. Yeah, saying essentially, is there any way the Jets could just keep him there? Is that legal? You know, because... Well, that's it. I mean, rip the knob off. And thankfully, I think you agree with the mock draft.
I think,
right?
I think it's one of those deals where if they wanted to trade back, they can get something. Or if they wanted to go offensive tackle, they can do that. But like, gosh, you know, how many years do you expect to have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback?
Bingo.
How many years do you expect to have a chance to win the AFC East? It's a little small window here. And Bowers, Rich, I mean, he doesn't have the build of a Gronk. And he doesn't have necessarily the abilities of a Tony Gonzalez athletically, but like I've talked to so many GMs who have just been saying, like, you watch him after the catch. The guy is an absolute beast. He does everything right. He blocks, he catches. Like, don't overthink this, Jets. Don't overthink it. If he's there at 10, he worked out. He was there yesterday with them. Rodgers is in the building. I'm sure they had some sort of interaction while he was there. Like, Brock Bowers to the Jets might sound boring at this point. A lot of Jets fans have seen that in mock drafts. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Well, I mean, he's like, in terms of the ability to run away from people and yards after catch, he's got a Breece Hall-like ability at the tight end position.
Yeah.
I mean, that where he could score from anywhere. And, oh, my God, I would be very happy from the NFL draft set on NFL Network and two Thursdays from now. And the few minutes I have left with you, Peter, fascinatingly enough, in your mock, again, it's just a mock draft for all those scoring at home. That you don't have the Vikings trading up. You don't have the Broncos trading up. And you don't have the Raiders trading up. And they're all quarterback needy. You don't have any of them taking Bo Nix or Michael Penix off the board. As a matter of fact, you do have, however, Minnesota taking him off the board with their second first-round draft choice, sitting there at 23. And you do not have Michael Penix Jr. going in the first round. Why do you see that in your crystal ball? For your mock, sir.
I've talked to a lot of teams that love Penix as a kid and like him as a player. I don't have a team that I could. I don't see 11, 12, or 13 taking Penix. So I don't see Minnesota taking Penix. I don't see Denver at 12 taking Penix. And I don't see the Raiders at 13 taking Penix. Then you start going through it and it's like, which one of these teams is quarterback needy? Well, the Vikings have another bite at the apple at 23, and I gave them Bo Nix. So is it possible that someone trades back into the end of the first round and gets Michael Penix? Sure. Is it possible that Minnesota says, screw it, we love him at 11, we're taking him? Sure, this is a mock draft, but it's not as clean and simple as, all right, team takes Penix, go. I didn't have a place for him here. And maybe in my next mock draft, which will be the morning of the draft, I've got him going as high as 11 to the Vikings. I have Nix going before Penix in this simulation. And I don't have a spot for him, which kills me because he might be my favorite player in this draft.
Well, one of the things that differentiates your mock draft from others, Peter, is you have information as well. I mean, you talk to everybody in the league here. And so what are you hearing ear to the ground about Penix that might cause you to sit here and go, well, I can't find a team, as opposed to, well, I'm going to find a team because I know people kind of dig him, you know? So what are you hearing on the Penix front?
Peter.
This reminds me a little bit, and these are very, these are not similar players, but last year we had these quarterbacks in the draft, and you know, everyone's like, well, Will Levis has to go in the first round. He has to. He just has to, because he's a first round caliber quarterback and we've been hearing about him for a year and he just has to. Well, Penix, this is where I was in the conundrum with Penix. I don't have a team, and I talked to teams and they're like, you know what? 6-year quarterback or whatever he was with Indiana and Washington. He's not a 21 or 22 year old. He's come, he's got two ACL injuries. Like, he's got the left-handed release, which is a little bit long. Like, these are all things that are cons on the kid, but yet is the ultimate winner. He looks amazing post-injury in 2 years at Washington and has interviewed and been on the board and has been incredible. So it's one of those where it's like, are we talking like we love him? Are we talking like, I don't have a team for him in the first round in this mock draft. Like I said, Rich, this is nothing against the kid. He might go as high as 11. He could go as high in the top 10 if a team loves him. I don't make the rules and I don't know it. I just, in my mock draft, I didn't have a place for him. So I unfortunately click send and afterwards was like, I didn't put Penix in the first round. I hate that for the kid, but who cares? It's just my mock draft. He might very well be in the top 15.
Yeah, and you see offensive tackles going galore in
so
in the
many
middle
and of, wide receivers.
Middle, right. In the middle picks, you know, you've got Fashanu going to Vegas after the Broncos take Latu off the board. Terry Arnold to Minnesota would be really nice pick right there. Fatano going to Seattle. That just seems like such a Seattle pick. And then Latham going to Jacksonville. And fascinatingly enough, though, you got Dallas taking the fastest kid in the history of the combine. You got Xavier Worthy going to Dallas. Why do you like that for Dallas?
I like that fit. I like
Instead
that
of
fit.
Mims, I know man. That... I mean, Mims is sitting right there, right? I mean, wow. You like the fit.
Instead of Mims, instead of his teammate A.D. Mitchell, who everyone has going in the top 15, I like Worthy for Dallas. I think Worthy actually is being undervalued, which is odd. Everyone I talk to is like, he's a first-round pick, and he competes, and he's an absolute burner. And for me, yes, Dallas offensive line is what everyone's projecting, and it makes a lot of sense. But crap, I don't know what we're doing with these contract situations with Dak and with CD. It's going to be a very long process getting both of those done. They will get done. I'm confident they'll get done.
When?
In the meantime.
When?
I don't
Seriously.
Know.
Seriously.
I don't
what?
Know.
Peter.
It's such an interesting deal because it's not just one guy. It's two guys. And they're both awesome. And they both deserve to be paid. And everyone agrees about it. And they went through this with Dak during COVID in the pandemic year. I remember every day on Good Morning Football, waking up from a home cam talking about, all right, Dak's contract, is he worth $35 million? I don't know. Is he worth $36 million? I don't know. Well, now we're talking $60 million. Those deals will get done, I'm confident. In the meantime, here's a relatively cheap first-round talent at wide receiver. You put him in there, and you give, you know, CeeDee Lamb a number two guy. That's an absolute burner. I went with Worthy.
Five quarterbacks, seven receivers in your first 32 picks, man. We can do the math. That's more than a third of the first night of the draft being quarterbacks and wide receivers. Peter, thanks for the time. And speaking on behalf of everyone in the studio, this is how much we like you, Peter, that we spoke with you for well over 20 minutes about your mock draft. And that's our Emmy Award that's over your right shoulder this entire conversation.
I took a photo of it and framed it, and that's just a picture of your Emmy Award.
That's all right. No, that's the one that, you know, we were first time we were nominated as a daily studio show, the Rich Eisen Show, you know, with our friends at Roku. And you know, it's okay. At least
I'll tell you
went
what,
within the family, Peter. You know, I mean,
you know, I haven't been on television, daily television, in quite some time. So I dug that out of the closet, and I'm like, I'm gonna promote it when I'm actually on TV and let people know. Once upon a time, I did television.
I know that, Peter. I'm aware of that, very much so. So I'll point out which camera's yours on the third day of the draft. Okay, Peter, if you need that sort of help, we can help. We'll have Puma, the best. Of the best in the business, who is running the tight ship as our stage manager. So he might need a refresher course.
Yeah,
exactly. And I look forward to that day when we stump the truck and we will definitely get a rescue animal from the Detroit area to urinate on Daniel Jeremiah's shirt, just like last year.
New tradition.
Wait. All right, Peter.
Dude, I'm so excited. It's the best, Rich. Thank you.
You bet. It's a great draft, and it's I look forward to it. Good Morning Football's Peter Schrager, which, by the way, will be back on the air on draft week. And then, of course, check out his mock draft wherever you can through the NFL Media Group channels. Good to see you, Peter.
You're the best, Rich. Thank you, man.
Fun stuff. All right, lots to discuss right there. Lots to talk about with you in the next segment, TJ Jefferson, because during that interview there was a retirement announced. So in the NBA. And the NBA playoffs tip off tonight, although the games don't really count in terms of the actual record books. It's the annual play-in tournament conundrum. We'll have Howard Beck of The Ringer coming up, and I got a fun top five, at least for me and you, Mike, coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. We all know quality sleep is essential. I'm just not myself when I don't get a good night's sleep. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. For instance, my side of the bed, my Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's side of the bed, her Sleep Number setting is 70. Two different numbers, same bed, but we get the same great sleep. So, make sure you get your Sleep Number bed right now, because you will absolutely love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you can save up to $800 on select Sleep Number smart beds for a limited time. That's right, $800. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Check it out. Sleep Number. You won't regret it.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Do I call you a free agent quarterback sitting here? What do I call you?
Dak? I don't know. I mean, this is my first time going through this. You tell me. Call me whatever, I guess.
I will call you Dak Prescott.
That works.
I'm going to ask you the question this way about what contract you think you're going to get, okay, in terms of pie. Because I've heard there's less pie. I've heard there's more pie.
Less pie.
That's right. There's Jerry Jones right there, the voice of Jerry Jones. We've heard there's less pie. We've heard there's more pie. I'm wondering if you think this is deep dish pie. How deep is it a deep dish pie?
If I'm guessing, I'd say yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it franchise pie?
I would say.
You'd say?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know what kind of pie we're talking
franchise
about.
Franchise tag pie. Is it franchise tag pie?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
long-term pie? Is it long-term pie?
I don't know. I just want a piece of the pie. Just put it like that.
Okay.
I'm getting hungry, chunk out right? The pie. I mean,
that's it? Yeah, okay. And is it a pie that starts with a four? Is it a pie that starts with a four?
Like I just said, I'm leaving up to my agents to cut my piece of the pie. Okay. I'm just ready for it and ready to eat. So when that happens, I'm ready to get to work and excited for this offseason.
And we've also heard through DeMarcus Ware told us that when you sit in Jerry's office, have you gotten the Jerry's office meeting yet?
I've been in Jerry's office.
Okay, and that he lights a candle, turns the lights down, and gives you a whole Dallas Cowboys speech. Have you had that? You have not had that yet.
No, okay. I haven't had that one yet.
He says that happens when he's trying to close a deal. So I think you'll know that you're really close if you
when
walk
the
in.
Lights turn off.
Lights go okay. down.
Thank you for that that warning and that heads up. So now I know like what's going on when that happens.
There's apparently a votive candle with a Dallas Cowboys star right on the side of it. I don't know if it's scented. It might be the smell of pie of some sort.
Right.
I'm just saying. That hasn't happened yet, is what you're saying.
It hasn't happened.
Okay, when you get that call, you know, wow, I'm close.
Okay.
It's back in the day. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. And when Peter Schrager was going through his mock draft, and Xavier Worthy, the fastest guy in the history of the Combine, we had him on after the Combine, couldn't have been a nicer kid, someone to root for. TJ Jefferson busted out his pom-poms because he's going to the Dallas Cowboys, right? You're all fired up to hear that?
Yeah, no, I mean, great kid, had him on here very fast.
No doubt.
But we're not the Raiders. We don't just draft based on speed alone. No, I've got Mims from Georgia. I've got him penciled in as of 2 months ago just to fortify that line. So that's,
well, I mean, they're going to move
Peter Schrager. I don't know what he knows.
They're going to move the kid from Tulsa that they drafted for inside the line of the left tackle spot, you know.
Okay. So then Tyler, someone needs to take his spot.
Okay.
Amarius Mims should be a Dallas Cowboy.
Okay.
Period. And I've been right the last three drafts.
Well, Schrager's got him going to the Packers.
Well,
he's got him going to the Packers
after you choose Avery,
because what are you just gonna you're gonna go run in there with Brandon Cooks again?
Why not?
Okay. And he seems to think that the Cowboys are gonna get it done with Dak and CeeDee Lamb.
Absolutely. I mean, think about this. But Rich, when has Jerry Jones ever not paid for a player that he wanted? Now he might do it on some weird time.
Amari Cooper.
Well,
he's on the Cleveland Browns now.
Apparently, he didn't want Amari Cooper.
Well, apparently not. I mean, Amari Cooper, $20 million a year. You take a look at how much the wide receivers du jour are making. It's in the mid-20s right now. You could have had Amari Cooper still stayed there.
But traditionally, Jerry will, as we know, he will pay for the players that he does.
But I don't understand why you're waiting. It just gets more expensive while you're waiting.
I don't get that either. I don't understand.
It gets more expensive while you're waiting. Do you think the Minnesota Vikings, but when they finally do give the bag to Justin Jefferson, what it would have cost a year and a half ago if they gave him the bag the first second they could give him the bag?
I mean, 10, 15, 20% more.
The Eagles do it right.
Yeah, give him the bag
when it's early and it's less expensive. And if you find out that you unfortunately gave the bag too soon, then you figure out how to take the bag back.
Like a good host, they pivot live on air.
Ooh. that's why I don't understand it. Like, the longer you wait to give CeeDee, what, you're waiting for Justin Jefferson to set the market?
Look,
Who else are you waiting to set the market? You set the market.
What Jerry needs to understand, yesterday's price is not today's price.
Eagles set the market with Jalen Hurts, and then the Ravens followed.
Ravens basically gave him the same deal.
And so
I wish I had these answers.
And in case you're wondering if Jalen Hurts is worthy of that bag and last season gives you pause, guess what will happen? The Eagles will figure out where the inflection point is of the Jalen Hurts contract and pivot. And soon he'll be gone. He'll be somewhere else.
He ain't going anywhere, though.
I don't think so. I'm just using this as a point. That you pay him early. That's the way you do it. Joe Banner comes on here all the time and pounds the table for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't understand. Like, what are you waiting for? If you're hearing, oh, they'll get it done eventually, then why didn't you get it done in March or late February when you could get it done and then have the flexibility to add to it? It's because I'm just wondering if this is going to be the conversation all year here, at least, is the way that the Cowboys front office reacted to being one and done by the Green Bay Packers wasn't like, okay, so the roster as it's currently formed and the coaching staff as it's currently formed, we need to tinker with it. We need to tinker with it and we need to supplement it. If we like the core of it, we like the coach, and we like the core of it, let's supplement it in ways that the core needed the help based on the Packers' exposure of it. The way of the Niners exposed it early in the season.
Well, they can't be mad because they're the front office.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, will we continue to talk about it this year as, no, we're just going to stick with what we got, barely supplement. We'll supplement it hardly at all in free agency and with the draft. We'll do our due diligence drafting, which the Cowboys do a good job of.
Very good.
I think, right? And will we be discussing that in October and November and December, or most importantly, January?
Oh, man. We're going to be talking about Bill Belichick should have been this coach in October.
You think so?
Oh,
I don't
absolutely.
Know. We'll see how the regular season plays out, and then obviously rubber meets the road in the playoffs. I'm just wondering if that's how we're going to be talking about it, because if you know you're going to sign Dak and you know you're going to sign CeeDee, do it early. Don't let us set the market and allow yourself the cap flexibility to supplement in free agency in a way that they did not do.
I agree.
I find that just fascinating when Peter Schrager's like, oh, they'll get it done. I'm like, well, when? That's why I'm like, when?
Yeah.
Hour two coming up. You know, I'm just wondering if we'll. And the only reason why I bring up Hurts is because it's a quarterback driven league. What did seem to flag in the follow up season to their Super Bowl year? And offensively, they flagged. And the question is was it really a coordinator issue? Was it a coaching coordinator issue? They kept the coach. They changed the coordinators. And then they supplemented. They didn't just say, we're going all in with the same damn thing again. They supplemented. They got Saquon Barkley, for crying out loud. Now, that is a difference maker. That is someone who they were missing. They let Miles Sanders walk. DeAndre Swift had a very nice first half of the season, as anybody who had him in fantasy would say. Yeah. And then the second half of the season, everything fell to crap. All of it did. Was it due to injury? Was it due to coaching staff? Was it due to Big Dom not being on the sideline?
I'm
truly throwing everything out there that changed. Yeah. And the Eagles didn't just sit there and go, we're running it back. We're all in. They changed the coordinators. They added Saquon Barkley. We all know what they did also in free agency as well. They got younger at the position. They sent Hassan, they traded Huff for Hassan Reddick, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
And we'll see what they do in the draft. And then they'll be going into the season in a way supplementing what potentially flagged for them last year, where the Cowboys are like, we're all in and we're going to wait to sign our guys, even though we're going to have to. It's kind of wild. Two different ways of doing it. We'll see who winds up on top. Hour number one in the books.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.